The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
It's Sunday night, we're in the house of God, and we are unified together in the praises of His name. I have a very quick 30-minute message, then we will progress into a time of personal prophecy. If you have a Bible, please turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Familiar verses to all of us here tonight. Ephesians 2. Reading from verses 8 to 10. Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. I believe these Bible verses are familiar to each and every one of us. I wouldn't be surprised if some of you came to faith through hearing the Word of God preached out of these verses. But I want to zero in the last part of Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. This is a very important addendum to this morning's message as we explored together and unpacked together the whole issue of reformation and the transmission of truth from one generation to another generation. We're so wired to know God, and the New Covenant believer has two pulses that moves him or her every day. One pulse that beats is to know God, and the other pulse that beats is to serve God. And we live in that place, one or the other, preferably both. My own theology would say every Christian has a membership ministry in the local church. And if you haven't discovered your membership ministry in the local church as yet, I will help you find it right now. Enroll in the Ministry of Helps. Come and vacuum the carpets. Ask your pastors, what can I do week by week? Can I pick up groceries for the church? What can I do at a practical level? And when we start to serve God, it's amazing how one thing leads to another. I don't think I know a Christian who's serving God significantly today who did not begin in the Ministry of Helps. We have all begun our pilgrimage serving God in that capacity. But this is a message to settle us down after this morning's message. It's a time of uncertainty, and God is giving us permission to reimagine church. To reimagine church. To quote Graham Cook, he's giving us permission to do church differently in the 21st century. The Holy Spirit is joyfully dismantling our outdated notions of church practices that have passed away in the Holy Spirit many decades ago. So as we seek to grapple with what does it mean to serve God in the 21st century, as we imagine what we might be doing in the future, as we look at our natural talents and try and perceive our spiritual talents and make sense of both, we can rest. We can rest into the truth of the Word of God tonight, that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. And you British paraphrase, oblique translation of the Bible, the truth states that we are the work of God's own hands. And that takes any carnal drive out of our thinking tonight, that in many ways we are a reflection of the work God is doing within us, has done within us, and will continue to work in our experience. So we are called to walk in works which God has prepared beforehand. But we're now digging more deeply into the psychology of God. We're moving away from what we think and plunging into the depths of what God thinks. So what are these works? We need the works which we have to walk in, biblically defined, so we're wholly functional rather than dysfunctional. Our works are nothing more than the works of the Lord. And in Hebrews 4, verse 3b, the latter part of 3b, we read the words, His works were finished from the foundation of the world. The works of Jesus finished from the foundation of the world. The works of Jesus are the works that we are signed up to accomplish within our lifetime. But it's not works that God composes to be carried out on the earth generation after generation. We can be greatly encouraged tonight that the works God has for us to walk in have already been established in Christ from the foundation of the world. This message is entitled, Our Works Are Already Finished. We live in a time frame, born into this world in a specific year and came to a saving knowledge of Jesus in a specific year. We have a history of our own life. We have a testimony of the goodness of God within our own lives. But Almighty God is totally outside of time. He is incredibly outside of time. God occupies the past, the present, and the future because He is eternal. He is eternal in nature, which our natural minds don't get, but our spirits totally understands, albeit at the depths. For our spirit man is also eternal in nature. Our spirit man is made of the same stuff that God is made of. God is light. And he breathed into every human being at the point of conception his light and formed within every human being the human spirit, housed in a body, but also added to that a soul. So our spirit man understands the eternal nature of God. Our spirit man is utterly eternal. We're going to do a little bit of theology. Can you handle a touch of theology? A little sprinkling of theology. There you go. You have some theology. You have some too. Whoa. I like this. I feel all important all of a sudden. This theology theme is entitled The Covenant of Redemption. Unless we understand this, we will miss the point entirely tonight. We've hit upon in the way past that the works we are called to walk in our generation have been prepared beforehand. We've identified the time frame. The works we are called to walk in are the works of Jesus, which were finished from the foundation of the world. This covenant of redemption is a pact forged in eternity amongst the three persons of the Godhead. An arrangement, a discussion, a covenant that took place in a conversation between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Long before this world began. If we were to try and measure it in chronological years, I don't think we would be able to comprehend. When God is infinite, how can we frame the works of God in earth, years, months, weeks, and days? It's too big. Our God's psyche is infinite. It never comes to an end. But our born-again spirits tonight get this. Our spirit man gets this truth because he is eternal in nature, and the Holy Spirit is teaching deeply the truths of God. This covenant of redemption, a pact forged in eternity among the three persons of the Godhead. The Father initiated redeeming a creation he knew would fall. Long before this world was created, more than likely at a time when Lucifer was a worship leader in heaven. The Father, in his foreknowledge, knew that he would create a world and the creation within that world would fall. The fall of man in the Garden of Eden did not surprise God in the slightest. He didn't react to that event that had such devastating consequences for the human race ever since. He just ushered in his plan of redemption. As one who is kind of interested in prophetic things, you might have noticed, I observed keenly that when man fell and when God turned up, the first thing he did was prophesy. He couldn't help himself. He prophesied over man and woman. He prophesied over the enemy. And this covenant of redemption was activated. The Son was given the task to accomplish redemption. The Holy Spirit was given the task to apply God's work of redemption. We're talking even of the Old Covenants, plural. before the new covenant turned up on the scene. The work of Jesus on the cross completed the knowledge of God to the human race and birthed the final race of men on the earth, the final race of women on the earth, called the new creation. So the covenant of redemption was already in place. As I go more deeply in my walk with God, I have come to understand His sovereignty. I appreciate the sovereignty of God. It comforts me and it helps me enormously when I just don't know. When things happen around me that I just don't have any answers to. I lean so heavily in the sovereignty of God. But look at it this way. Every one of us here tonight are here because we are part of God's sovereign plan for the earth. When we were conceived, all those years and decades back the way, there was no way we were not going to make full term. There was nothing that could stop us being born into this world. We began our journey, and we all have a different story to tell. I know some of your stories very well. I know some of the bare facts of other stories here, other life stories. But the one thing we have in common is this. There was a time in our life when the Holy Spirit began to apply God's work of redemption to you. And I, we had a breakthrough moment in Christ Jesus. In my case, it was power before truth. God delivered me in His power from alcoholism and the life I led. And then 2 weeks later, gave me a very clear, defined knowledge of who He is and what Jesus had done for me. In many ways, it would have looked like Mr. Bean finds Jesus. I was not known for my religiosity or religious pursuits. In fact, I say freely and publicly, I never became a Christian for religious reasons. I became a Christian for very selfish reasons. God offered me a way out of my own private hell, and I snatched His hand off. I wasn't thinking of working in a way that would benefit the human race. I was thinking of a way that would benefit me. But I discovered, like you did in the journey, I did not choose Jesus. He chose me. It was His idea all along. And the Holy Spirit applies God's work of redemption today in civil society and in the body of Christ. It's worth having a little peep into civil society, where there's so many institutions of common grace doing great works and making the lives of people better all over the USA. That's the Holy Spirit's work of redemption, applying God's work of redemption amongst those men and women of goodwill who are seeking to make life better for others. But for you and I, the Holy Spirit not only applied God's work of redemption to our hearts in the first instance, it's what He still does today. We can be very free in the truth that we only know who we are in part, and we only know who God is in part. Yes, at an overview level, we have a complete revelation of God. We are in Christ Jesus. We're in a people group being criticized for worshiping Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for being adamant that God has a Son that is equal to who He is, yet subordinated to the Father heart of God and the plans and purposes of Father God. And if all we had was a theory and a theology, we would be nothing more than a discussion group. One religious cluster in a nation full of other religious clusters. But what makes you and I very different from every religious cluster in the USA is the Holy Spirit continues to apply God's work of redemption in our lives. It's layered. I believe God's preoccupation with all of our lives is to conform you and I to the image of His Son. It's certainly not to increase the anointing in our lives or to give us a great and awesome anointing in our lives. It's to conform you and I to the image of His Son. And divine calling comes out of that. Anointing comes out of that. We've all wrestled with God over the years. We've been unhappy with God over the years. Even lost in God over the years. I was very ill for the first 7 years of the 1990s. I went through long periods where I was so debilitated I could hardly hold a thought in my head for any more than a second. I'd lie in my sick bed wondering if there was any cognitive activity taking place in my mind at all. I remember feeling very lost in God. I felt very lost in God in very painful seasons of my life. But the quality difference, my brother and sister, is this. There's times, often when we're at our most devastated, often when we've been emptied of self and all our own options, things we can do, that the Holy Spirit just simply turns up and applies God's work of redemption to our lives once again. Every time the Holy Spirit speaks a word that leads us into significant breakthrough, immediately eternity arises in our hearts and says, I knew that all along. It was something I had within me all along. We might as well get used to the fact we're not very normal. We can't be. We cart around in our spirits the triune God. Does that make you normal? When we're lining up in Starbucks for a frappuccino tomorrow morning, and the gal or the guy says, good morning, can I help you? So I'll have a frappuccino. Let me check in with the Holy Trinity and ask what they want. This is a spiritual fact. We are not normal, and the Holy Spirit is applying God's work of redemption to our lives, has attached us to the very character and nature of the triune God. And all of that is working through our consciousness, even as we gather this evening. I'm going to wrap this message up in about 7 or 8 minutes. This is an addendum to this morning's message. We're looking at the mystery of God tonight. If you're a closet Bible scholar, and I pray you are, if you're a man or woman who wants to have a theological grasp of the foundation, of the foundations of the Word of God, and I pray that you are, I encourage you to unpack in the new covenant, the nine mysteries of the Apostle Paul. God gave the Apostle Paul nine mysteries, which are our mysteries to discover. The greatest mystery, and this is to whet your appetite, that I can see out of all of them, and they're all incredible, is simply this: Christ in you, the hope of glory. The mystery gospel that the human mind cannot understand, but can be renewed by. God is the master of paradox. Yeah, check that out. Check that out, and check it out in numerous translations. The nine mysteries of Paul. Some of the modern paraphrases don't call the nine mysteries of Paul the mysteries of God. But dare to dig in the King James Version, the New American Standard Bible. I believe the New International Version has most of them. Be real Bereans. You can tip your toe in the water of the mysteries of God. We're going back into eternity past. We've already established on the basis of the Word of God that His works were finished from the foundation of the world. And in the book of Revelation 13, 8b, the Apostle Paul paints a more dynamic and graphic picture by stating the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world. And in our rational minds, we can say, wait a minute here. Jesus was crucified on a Roman cross around 2,000 years ago. That's a historical fact. Jewish history records it, and secular historians working within the Roman Empire record that. Yeah, we're seeing it through the lens of man. It is a historical fact. But when we look through the lens of God, into the mystery of God, the Lamb of God was slain from the creation of the earth. It happened from the creation of the earth and was transposed into human events 2,000 years ago. The stage was set for actors to be part of that process. A Pontius Pilate, a Judas Iscariot, a Jewish Sanhedrin, all part of a process that would deliver to the human race a physical witness of an event that was slain from the creation of the earth. God stands outside time. And I will leave you with a prophetic thought to summarize this morning's message. And where we're at as a church this weekend, as we're coming to terms with our individual and corporate sense of loss, this is fundamentally how God speaks to the church and the human race in what we call real time. God stands outside of time. And very soon, I will be prophesying over some of you. Where is God when He speaks to us this evening prophetically? Where is God when He spoke through the scriptures this morning and again this evening? God is speaking from the future. Not a vague future point, but we kind of hazard the guess, 10 years down the line, 20 years down the line. God is speaking tonight from His throne, overseeing the new heaven and the new earth. And we're already there. and we know it not. Our spirit man gets glimpses of it, and this kind of talk resonates vaguely or otherwise. But he's speaking from the future. And he's speaking from the future towards an event that has already taken place in eternity's past. To summarize, God speaks from eternity future into an event that took place in eternity past. And he communicates into the present age, into the here and now. Something we understand within our timeline on the earth. God has given us time as a gift. And a language that's a reflection of all that we need to comprehend time. But the prophetic, from God's perspective, is already in place. He's not really waiting to see how we respond. He gives us the grace to respond accurately at the appropriate time. If I understand the prophetic at all, when the word is released, it's immersed deeply within our spirit. It activates what we're already carrying. And Father, Son, and Holy Spirit get to work. And at an appointed time, it all begins to come to pass in our life. That's what makes God's prophetic purposes irresistible. That's what makes you and I his workmanship. We're in a good place tonight acknowledging, if we don't really know what we're doing and we're seeking to find out more of who God is, that puts us in pole position to learn and to grow. But meanwhile, we're very alive in real time.